Welcome to So Many Bits. I'm your host, Bill Nielsen, and joining me once again from this palatial VoIP line in the middle of the internet is Shelby Monken. Shelby, how are you?
Good. You know, I figure if we're going to be on this VoIP line pretty regularly, then I dragged in a couch, I bought a couple pillows, and I have a candle sitting out, so it sounds really nice. So I figure, you know, if we're going to be here for a bit, since, you know, we're stuck inside forever.
I'm totally okay with that. I don't mind guests bringing in their own furniture or accessories to make it more hospitable here. Like I myself just have a cot and a poster of the Rembrandts. So, you know, they're the band, of course, that did the Friends intro. So, you know.
Not the family of painters. Well, just keep an eye in the sky. And if you see any wrapped presents with a balloon tied to them, just throw something at the balloon and you can have more things in your side of the VoIP line.
Ooh, all right. Well, I'll keep an eye out. I guess that, you know, that does sound like you're referencing something specific, I think, so.
No, it's just so it light. That's happening outside, Bill. Have you not been outside?
No, I haven't been outside, Shelby. Have you been outside?
Don't tell the government.
Well, I feel like I need to just ask more questions here, so. Hey, Shelby, what you playing?
Oh, you know, just the same thing that everyone else is playing right now. Animal Crossing, constantly, all the time. Oh, Lord. Tom Nook has blessed us all. The timing of this game literally could not be better. It is, so this is the first time that a Animal Crossing game has come out in 7 years, I believe. And it is it's worth the wait. Incredible game. But the timing is beautiful as so many people are sheltering at home. As so many people are stuck indoors and very, honestly, very powerless to deal with the situation aside from staying inside and away from people. Having a game that simulates being outside, being with friends, and having control of the world around you is a very, very refreshing place to be.
That's awesome. Yeah, I too am taking my first trip into Animal Crossing, and I've played a little bit, so I might be able to have a frame of reference, but I'm guessing you've played for quite a few hours at this point.
Oof, yeah, so many. Well, so here's the difference. I think I'm having a different Animal Crossing experience than a lot of other people are right now for two reasons that are related. The first of which is my dear sweet husband is a librarian, and libraries are closed right now. So they are still getting paid. We're very, very grateful for that. But he is home without work at the moment to do. He has a little bit to do in the morning that he can hop online, but that's like an hour maybe of work, and then his day is his, and our apartment is small and there's only so much we have to do. So he has been playing a lot, which means that I have someone who is on constantly to help farm rare fishes and get resources and all of these things. And we share an island, so we're playing on the same Switch. So the way that there was a lot of uproar about it, and I think there are some definite pros and some definite cons, but if you have more than one account playing Animal Crossing New Horizons on one Switch, you don't have two separate islands, you have one island together. You both live on it. The first person that logs on is the resident representative, and they get a lot more power and the ability to do things. Though I believe, if I'm not wrong, now that we have a certain new building built, we have the ability to switch that back and forth. But you're both playing on the same island. So this is good and bad. The frustration is that resources are limited, and we have to kind of coordinate with each other. Oh, who's going to shake the fruit trees today? Because if you shake them, I can't have any of the fruit off that. And we're trying to balance money. And especially right now, we're trying to build a lot of infrastructure and move some things around on the island. My husband needs the money and the resources to move them because he's the resident representative. So I have to go farm and then I have to give things to him so that he can do the work. It can be a little cumbersome, but we also are doing everything together. We're designing together. We're farming resources together. So we're getting things twice as fast because we're both working towards it. It also means that I can just leave a bunch of wood, iron, and money on his doorstep before I started this recording so that he could put some stuff towards building a new bridge. There's a benefit to that. So I think it's kind of going to depend. I think two people on the Switch, totally fine as long as you're actively working together. You can make a really cool space, and we've had a lot of fun with it. But it's been lovely escape. The most important thing to me is my fashion. The second most important thing to me is my house. And I really love that I have the options to do that. And it's just very relaxing. It's great escapism. And it's got that perfect farming, like resource gathering life sim style cycle where there's always something you could be doing, right? Like you can turn it off, but there's always another thing you could build, another island you could visit, another thing you could rearrange, another quest you could complete. And so it's really, really easy to just kill time and get lost on it.
I'm trying to, I guess, like go about it maybe the opposite way and just like, I am enjoying my time with the game, but I'm not making it my like primary game at any point. So usually I'll be in there for like a half hour and I haven't played too much yet, but mostly that's been like, all right, go grab a little wooden iron here, grab a few fruits, get some bells, get some nuke miles here and there. And like, I'm a little bit behind, I think, some people in building up my my island. Like I have, for example, so Blathers has showed up, but he's still in his tent, like he doesn't have his building yet.
Bill, just wait for the museum. Okay, so legitimately, I think the museum is the greatest, is the kindest thing in the entire game because it is stunning. It is incredible. I legitimately just walk around the museum sometimes because it's pretty and interesting in the way that they did it. And so, especially because the weird quirk of one of the weirdest quirks of the game to me is that the characters are all very round and soft and cartoony, but all of the fish and the bugs and the fossils are accurately rendered to real life. So they put them in this accurately rendered, beautiful museum that looks like the field or the shed here in Chicago. Like it's crazy.
That's pretty cool, actually. I'm excited to see that, yeah.
But I think taking your time makes sense. I think it's what you need to get out of it. And that's what I was telling a friend who was just not enjoying setting up her island. She wasn't enjoying a lot of things about it. And then she started to figure out, oh, I can like hyper-organize this and I can be very efficient and figure out this efficient way to play and get resources in certain ways. And I reminded her, like, just because we're playing the game a certain way doesn't mean you need to. There's lots of ways to play this game. You can play it obsessively. You can play it for the aesthetics. You can play it to talk to people. You can play it to give gifts. You can play it to just drop in and out to a nice place. Like, the beautiful thing about Animal Crossing is there's no right or wrong way to play, and you're really not going to be penalized actively for doing any of those options.
And it's just been a lot of fun to see people and what they've made within the game. Like I'm loving the people who are making like their own custom t-shirt designs in the game. I'm loving like people who have gone to like great lengths to make their own households. Like I follow this guy Dan Reichert, who's he works for WWE, and his house has a giant wrestling ring in it, and he's got a lucha mask, and he's got like all these like audience gif animation going on for the walls. It's pretty sweet. And
that's
like
amazing. The creativity is great. My favorite subsect of these people, the creative, really creative folks, are the folks who are making Animal Crossing into a horror game. So one person in particular who I love to death has started this mythology on her island. Her island is covered with eyeballs because you have the ability to make custom patterns and then put them on the ground or walls. So you can make posters, you can make cobblestones, you can make all kinds of things. But A, her island is covered in eyeballs in weird places. But B, more importantly, she has developed this whole mythology of the mermaids who live in the ocean, who demand blood sacrifices. And if you give them blood sacrifices, they will give you back shells. But she used the pattern maker to make it look like the people like got dragged into the sea by the mermaids, that the mermaids are writing in their blood like payment for people and pointing to shells. And it's just really like people have so much space to be incredibly creative if they want, right? If they want to do things. I'm not going to painstakingly design things, but I am definitely going to scan the codes once I get the shop to be able to do it so that I can wear the funny t-shirts and put up the interesting posters and do the cosplays. Like people are making incredible cosplay outfits, like lovingly rendered characters in the game, and I'm so excited to be able to do that stuff.
Like just knowing that there's so much left to see and discover is great. I know there's a certain very popular character that I haven't seen yet in my game, but will show up eventually.
Yeah, you've got a couple of days until they show up. They just showed up this morning for us.
Aww.
And it was very heartwarming and really awesome. And we have favorite. So it's the other thing that's cool about this game is you get villagers that come to your island, and you start with a couple randomly. And then as you go to outer islands, you get the option to invite new villagers in to come move into your town. And I am pretty happy with our assembly right now. I am obsessed with one of our villagers. He is my best friend. And the strangest creature I have ever met in this game. His name is Cranston. He's an ostrich, and he's weird. He was in New Leaf originally, so I did not actually play New Leaf. So I was not familiar, but he is a weird, lazy food boy. And has strange tangents sometimes, and I adore him. And so I'm also getting, like, hyper-attached to these cartoon creatures that live in my Switch.
Awesome. Yeah. I've got so far just the two starters. I've got cats and I've got a robot bird, and I forget the robot bird's name, but he rules and I want to talk to him more.
Which cat do you have? Do you remember?
I think her, I don't know their gender. I think their name is just Cat, K-A-T-T.
Oh, you have Cat. Okay, cool. I do not have Cat. So we have Cranston, Ava, Snake, Flo.
Snake.
And Snake is a bunny who likes fitness, and Mary the cat.
You like fitness.
He has a lot of feelings about fitness, but I love him to death. He's my second favorite villager. But Cranston is just strange and bizarre and has weird, he just is a strange bird, and I love him, and my husband and I are both obsessed with him, so we're gonna make sure he never leaves us. So he's very easy to please, and they're fun too, right? Even if you don't have friends that are playing the game too, those island, like the villagers, really add some level of interactivity and sort of like pseudo socializing. And it's just for right now, it's hard for me to dip back into any other game that I'm playing super intently. I'm still playing Overwatch kind of, but I've really dripped off of it, and unfortunately I'm pretty out of practice, so I'm getting bad. And I'm still playing Borderlands 3. I'm still, you know, there's still a lot of games that we're playing, but it's so hard for me right now to have the time to jump in, especially because I'm working from home during the week, to really jump in and do this when Animal Crossing is such an easy, short, or long-term game. But I will say there is one more thing I'm playing, and then I'll shut up. But so to sort of give us some giggles, find some joy, and do something together, my husband and I downloaded Human Fall Flat. And Bill, this game, I know you know what this game is. It's so good. I am a sucker for stupid physical comedy, and this game has it in spades. So you are a flippity floppity wavy dude with very strange physics, and you're trying to solve puzzles and traverse a world, and then you can play with multiple people. So my husband and I play together, and it is both hilarious. There was a point where he accidentally tried to hand me something and yeeted it off of a cliff, that I laughed so hard I had to stop playing for 5 minutes and my abs hurt. It just broke me. And it was so funny, but the puzzles are really good, and like, it's a fun bit of platforming. It's fun puzzles to figure out, and it's fantastic as two-player. So we've really, really been enjoying having this thing that we can do together that feels like a fun game, a fun puzzle. It's something interactive. It's something goofy. It gets us away from the news, the rumination, like all the crazy stuff that's happening. It has been an absolute godsend. Anyone who has not played it, alone or otherwise, but especially if you have someone else to play with, it's also not that expensive. I think last time I saw it was like $20. Like, it's not bad. Go buy Human Fall Flat. Between that, Beat Saber, and Animal Crossing, like, that is all I need in the world. I have plenty of video game escapes that are light, easy, keeping me laughing, and keeping me active.
I did want to ask a little bit about that, actually, because, you know, last week we talked about our exercise habits, and I think we're both using video games to try and keep fit a little bit and not be complete slugs.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to slug, and there are days where it comes out where I want to go for a walk, or I want to do some exercises. We're doing a push-up challenge right now, so that's keeping me a little bit active, but especially with cardio, I'm in an apartment with bad soundproofing on the walls, and the floors are thin, and so I don't really want to bother my neighbors. So we got a Oculus Quest in at the end of January. It was our Christmas present to ourselves, and we got it at the end of January. And pretty much the only thing I play on there is Beat Saber. It gives me all of the good feels of playing DDR when I was in middle school and like high school, and when I was obsessed with it. It's very, very fun. I feel like I'm getting better. And there's something really nice about that feeling of progression. I can play expert levels sometimes now. Definitely expert levels that the game creates. User created are a little bit harder and a little bit of a variation, but generally speaking, I can. And that was not where I was a long time ago, or when I first started playing. But the cardio on it is intense, especially because I will just, it's so fun. I just want to play songs back to back over and over again. And I do that for an hour, and then I realize that my watch says I've burned 400 calories and I'm sweaty and exhausted. But it's really, really fun, and it really takes away all of the, like, ugh, I don't feel like working out parts, and just gives you something that's cardio, something that's fun, something that's challenging, especially because we have the mod on our Oculus so that we can download user-created audio. And so I've got, you know, it's really, really fun, too, to go through and rediscover songs that I hadn't thought about. I've been playing a lot of pop punk songs.
Yeah, I'm sorry just to cut in, like, because please, you're playing on a PC version, you can kind of mix in your own songs. You're not limited by the initial library, right?
Well, so we're playing on the standalone headset, but you can download a channel onto the headset that allows you, it kind of mods the game in the background and allows you to add in user-created stuff.
Nice, nice, yeah.
So that helps a lot, because the game has some awesome music. I was already obsessed with the song Popstar by KDA from League of Legends. I was already obsessed with it before this game, but now I play it at least once a session of Beat Saber, and it's a really fun song. But their library is limited, and you have to pay extra if you want to play the Panic at the Disco pack or the Green Day pack. So having the ability to download user levels is really fantastic, and there's some great collections you can download of like songs that we know, like they're curator picked great songs with a lot of cool flow moments and things like that. So I'm enjoying that a lot. I've thought about trying to create a level, but it just seems so challenging. It's feeling a little out of my reach right now, but I could see it being possible, even if it's just an easy level, for songs that I would love to play but don't exist yet.
And, you know, it's interesting. Just recently we had a Nintendo Direct, and I was really excited, if I can segue slightly here, that I've been doing a lot of Ring Fit recently, mm-hmm. to keep myself active. And they've kind of implemented their own, it's not Beat Saber, but it's definitely Beat Saber adjacent, this rhythm mode they're working on.
I love that. I love the rhythm games are really, really fun. There's some other ones on Oculus I want to try. I would love to play it on Switch because you've got the ability fairly well to do that, especially with the Joy-Cons. Why not take advantage?
The fidelity isn't quite there on some of the stuff, at least just from my own experience. Because like, so I did a lot of the songs on the hard difficulty. And mm-hmm. that felt pretty fair. Like, it was challenging, it was fast, but I could, like, get some, miss some. And when you get to the super hard difficulty, so the way they do it for Ring Fit is there are three tracks, left, center, and right, and then you have to do a certain exercise on each track, so, like, there'll be a push or a pull. Mm-hmm. The problem is that there's a bit of a lag in when it switches tracks, like, if I want to switch the ring. Like, no matter how fast I want to do it, pretty much, it'll still take a moment for it to go between the two or three. And that is just death on the super hard difficulty. So I've been having troubles with that so far, and I'm trying to figure out what to do about that.
That sounds super frustrating. But how has the game been holding up now? Because I think we had talked about it on a previous podcast, and I think one of the concerns was, like, how is this going to feel over time versus, like, oh, this is fun now. But how are you enjoying playing it more regularly now?
I'm liking it still quite a lot. I'm really finding it to be perfect for jumping in and do 20 to 30 minutes of exercise. And like that'll be different exercises every day. Like, I'll be working different muscles. And like within the context of the game, it'll be different activities. Like, there are these courses that you run that'll be like 7 or 8 minutes, and you run through them and you like randomly encounter monsters and like have to navigate obstacles. And then there'll be different games, and those last 1 or 2 minutes and focus on one individual exercise that you repeat a lot to do like a certain number of an activity, or like, you know, like the one I did yesterday was you have to hold the ring over your head and pull on it to deploy a parachute. And you have to do that in order to, and move the ring around in order to fall through different rings and get points that way. And that lasts, you know, like 90 seconds to 2 minutes, and is just focusing on that one exercise. But every time out, it's like a different sequence of exercises and game types and stuff. And so it's always fresh. It always feels new and novel.
That's awesome. Yeah, it seems like it would get repetitive. So it's super, I'm happy to hear that they clearly have thought about this and want this to be a thing that you can exercise with long term, rather than just being like, here's a thing to introduce you to it. And it's a silly novelty game.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know from other people who've gone even further, like there's a new game plus that you can roll into, but I am hoping that they'll continue to support the game with like an expansion maybe down the line where they add extra courses. I know that like there's a, you know, there's only so many exercises you can do with the ring, but if they can just like keep figuring out ways to add variety to the existing formula, I think that would be sufficient.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's awesome. And you've got the, I mean, you have the ring too, so it's just a matter of figuring out what are interesting things you can do with it. And you're invested now. It's just finding a way to keep it continuing and growing. And there's only so much you can do with the same sort of exercises too. So it's finding new ways to mix it up or new game modes. And it sounds like that kind of rhythm style game mode is an interesting option.
Not trying to give anyone FOMO out there, by the way. I understand ring fits are a little hard to come by these days, but that is what I've been doing to stay active.
Well, so are Switches, apparently. They're like going for ridiculous amounts because everyone's buying them up because of Animal Crossing and just in general being stuck at home. So they are apparently remarkably hard to find right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the day before I went in to quarantine, like I saw some Switch lights at my Target and I was like, I wonder how long those are going to last. And I'm guessing not very long.
Not. No. Yeah. If anyone has their plans or thinks practically about it and they want a Switch, because I know lots of people have been like, I want to try this. And every Switch that I find is like $500 just for the Switch. $500 or $600. Like it's ridiculous. They're going for crazy amounts now. So.
And I think a few people out there, unfortunately, are getting gotten because there's a lot of issues with older Switches that have Joy-Con drift. And Nintendo has stopped all repairs on defective Switches right now. Like, if you you can't send them out, and if you did send them out, you're not getting them back. Not right now, anyway.
Yeah, and that's really oh man, oh my heart would be so upset if that happened.
Yeah, I would be very bummed. So hopefully, no one listening is going through that right now. I do not wish that upon you.
Yeah, that would be pretty painful.
So I'm sorry, before I officially take claim, was there anything else game-wise you wanted to chat about?
No, that's all I'm playing. I'm super curious to see. I mean, because the only other thing I'm playing is Stardew Valley on my phone, which is what I've been playing forever. So I want to know what you're playing right now. I see some of it. I'm very excited about one of the games. Every time I'm on Switch, I see you playing one of them. But I'm excited to hear about what you are playing now.
Well, then let's get right into that game. That game would be Murder by Numbers.
So excited.
Murder by Numbers is a P-Cross game, so I'm somewhat familiar with a bunch of different P-Cross games at this point. Like, I've played, you know, just regular P-Cross games. I've played games that have tried to add, like, RPG elements to the P-Cross formula. But this is the one that I've really stuck with because it's got the best story out of any of the ones that I've come across. It follows the adventures of Honor Mizrahi. She is a Hollywood actress who gets thrown topsy-turvy into a world of intrigue and crime because one day she shows up to work and it's the wrap on that season of her show, Ms. Mystery. She's fired unexpectedly and she's really upset about it. And then she like goes back to tell the producer a piece of her mind and the producer is dead.
Dun dun. Sorry, yes. Wrong episode.
Well, it's unusual, but it's far less deviant what goes on in this game. So at the same time, you find this little computer dude, Scout, who floats around. He looks like a 1990s era desktop PC, and he's missing his memory, but he's got this great ability to like scan the environment around him, and you as the player solve P-Cross puzzles to analyze the information. And, you know, they start out pretty easy, like, you know, 5x5 grids, but pretty quickly they're moving on to 10x10, 15x15. I think even a couple at the end are like 20x20. So it's, you know, this is always a prerequisite with these games. You have to like P-Cross puzzles. If you don't like P-Cross puzzles, don't buy this game. You will not like it. It is like 75% P-Cross puzzles.
Which luckily I love them. I fell in love with them through mobile games. So that prereq is checked off.
Well, then great. Then I can tell you that I can heartily recommend this game because in between the puzzles, you are helping Honor and Scout to solve a bunch of mysteries. And, you know, they're very deliberately trying to kind of steal some of the valor of like the Phoenix Wright games, where steal valor is not the most kind way to put it, but they are trying to create this environment of, it's a murder mystery, but it's a bit goofy. You meet all these characters along the way and they're all wacky and such. And there's lots of banter and joking back and forth between Honor and Scout and the other characters, stuff like that. And all the writing's really good. Like, these are the same people who worked, I believe, on Hatoful Boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
And I have not played Hatoful Boyfriend, but, you know, that's a, I believe, a pretty well-regarded game from a few years ago. And, like, you can tell that, like, they're pretty good at writing these jokes and, like, keeping things moving. And I was overall impressed.
Yeah, it's, that game's got a, the writing is pretty fun on that one. So this sounds so fantastic and seems like a really fun and good, like, brain trainy type thing too. I always find Picross always, sometimes it's challenging, but I find it to be a really enjoyable, deceptively difficult sort of puzzle, and having the extra little elements here and there would be quite fun.
Yes. Yeah. And I am gonna give a few nitpicks, and I should just mention here that I nitpick things even when I like them. So I like this game, but I'm also just gonna throw these in here because maybe they might bother other people more than they bothered me. One thing is, like I said, like, they are trying to get some of that Phoenix Wright energy going. Like, even the music for the game is done by the same composer for all the Phoenix Wright games. The text sound for the scroll of the text is taken from the Phoenix Wright games. You go around and present evidence to people to unlock more conversations, that stuff. But there are no trials. There is no, like, court proceedings like in the Phoenix Wright games. So, like, I was a little, I wasn't disappointed really, but I was like expecting there would be a point where you go and transition to a trial and are doing, you know, the contradictions and stuff. That's not really what this game does. You do solve mysteries, but, you know, you do it all with the P-Cross puzzles and investigating and gathering evidence. And then at the end, it's just like, all right, good job. On to the next case. No trials.
Weird.
Secondly, there are a couple, like, quality of life things that I wish they had done with the game.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which is you can't reset a puzzle. So, like, there's no button to do that. Your options are to, if, like, so if you're, like, in a halfway through a puzzle, you're like, oh, I messed this up. I don't know where I went wrong. I want to start over. You either have to, like, just erase every square that you filled in or, like, exit the puzzle. Like, I think just, like, force close the game and re-enter it. And
That's so annoying.
It is annoying. And I've had to do it a few times here and there, and I haven't loved that. I wish there was an option just to do it, just to get a fresh look at the screen. And then sometimes it's possible to miss a puzzle, which, you know, that happens in the game. But, like, if you want to see, there's a thing called Scout's Memories where you can find out more about Scout's past. And to do that, you have to get a certain detective rank in the case and then complete a bunch of extra puzzles to get to the memory. But if you don't get an S rank in the case, you can't do all the puzzles to unlock the memory.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, I was looking pretty diligently, and in case 3, I got to the end and I had an A rank. So I can't get to the last puzzles to unlock that memory. And the only way I would be able to do it is if I just went and I started the case over and went through the whole case looking for the one I missed. And I'm not going to do that. That would take hours.
You would need to be, I mean, if you wanted to 100% it, that's the only option. But it just means the game is shorter for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is annoying.
And, like, it's just out of reach, too, which is kind of a sad feeling that, it, like, you can't quite get to the last little thing you want. Like, I'll live, but it did bother me a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, I just mentioned this stuff, like, it wouldn't bother me so much if I didn't like all the other stuff going on around it. If I didn't like the game, I just wouldn't, you know, talk about some of the stuff, you know?
Right. But there's always small things you're going to dislike or be frustrated with, and that's fine. Like, you just have to be, it's again, like you said, is it worth dealing with everything else?
To answer that question, which I may have been rhetorical, but I'm going to answer it anyway.
No, answer it.
Yes, I think it's worth it. I liked it a lot. It's only $15. It's on the Switch and the PC, and I would recommend it on either platform. Yeah, I would check out Murder by Numbers.
I'm honestly just sad it's not on mobile, because if it was on mobile, I would get it immediately. With Switch, I have to debate whether I want, like, once Animal Crossing slows down, I will definitely pick it up, because it sounds very up my alley.
I could easily imagine it transitioning to mobile. Like, I believe that'll happen at some point, but, you know, they're probably limited in their resources and it might just take a while is all.
Totally makes sense.
So that's Murder by Numbers. Next up, I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple other games I've been playing. I've been playing Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight and Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight.
So many different kinds of light to dance in.
The numbers of different lights out there, there's all of the lights. Persona 3 and Persona 5 Dancing in Blank Light are kind of sequels to Persona 4 Dancing All Night, which was a game that came out on like the Vita a few years ago. And that was bizarre because they made a rhythm game for the Persona franchise using all the music in the games. Okay. Then they're like, no, we need to put a story in here. We need to weave this into the greater universe of the Persona lore. So they like make up a mystery for them to solve that involves them like dancing to unleash their Persona powers. And it's very silly.
Sure, as it would be, of course.
And then when they came back with 3 and 5 here, my impression is they're like, we worked too hard on Persona 4's dancing game. We're going to work a little less hard on these two and see if we can make more money that way by saving a little bit of time and effort. Because I bought these games each when they were like $20, you know, like on Amazon or like various places. And they were originally retailing at $60. And wow, I would.
Yeah.
Putting aside the quality of the game, like the overall package is very thin, I would say, for a $60 game.
Yeah, it's not a AAA level release. And I think you really have to get for a game like that, you really have to get a lot out of it in order to justify. $60 is not cheap. Like, if you're playing video games, especially when I'm playing games that are going to offer me 30, 40, 50, 100 hours of content, that's worth my $60. 20 hours is worth maybe my $60 at a stretch, but like, what, how thin is it really that they're offering? Like, they really have to, you have to justify that full cost. It's not a regular Persona game.
No, not even close, because like I'd mentioned, they made a story, a mystery for the last one. This time they found a way to reuse the plot for both games. It's so it's fiendishly clever. So the idea is within the universe, there's these beings that occupy the Velvet Room. And these beings, these attendants of the Velvet Room, are the ones who bestow powers on the Persona users that you end up using as the player character. And they have a different Velvet Room attendant for each game. So in 3, it was like Elizabeth and Theodore. In 4, it was Margaret. In 5, it was Justine and Caroline. So for these dancing games, the attendants for 3 and 5 are having a dance contest to see which group of kids are better like dancers, or like better at, you know, winning the hearts and minds of the world or something. It's like a 3-minute cutscene of, you know, text boxes and a little verbal dialogue and like people like facing directly at you and doing these a small number of stock animations to explain, all right, now you're going to dance all the music from these games.
Sure, you know.
And then as you play, you can unlock social events between the characters as you fulfill certain criteria, beating certain songs, wearing costumes and stuff. And, you know, it's because there's not like an actual plot or stakes to the game, it all comes off as kind of flat because they're just kind of all conversations that are shooting the breeze. It's like, how do you feel about dancing? How do you dance? Have you danced before?
The answer to all those questions is good. The last question, that's a confusing answer, but the answer is good. I dance good. I dance to good things. I'm a good dancer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's super, you're not getting a lot of extra. I think one of the reasons to pick up a game that's an extension of a franchise like Persona is I love these characters. I love this world. I want to spend more time, get to know them, spend more time with them. And, like, this doesn't sound like it's bringing much to that specific party.
I would have to unfortunately agree. Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I'm still playing the games a bit. Like, I've put, you know, like, 5 hours into the one for Persona 3 and then a few hours into the one for Persona 5 because I like the music. So I like doing the rhythm. But even then, the rhythm mechanics are kind of awkward. I've heard people say that it's better on Vita, and I can see why. Because the rhythm is the notes originate from the center of the screen and radiate outward to different spots. And then you press buttons to match up to those different spots around the outside of the screen. It's like left, up, down, triangle, circle, X on the DualShock. But the way they radiate makes it very hard to watch. It's hard to watch all four corners of a 40-inch TV situated like 10 feet away from you. Like,
right.
And that's not even accounting for people who might be closer or have a bigger TV than me. But it's just hard to be able to track all the notes at all times.
Yeah, it sounds like a, if you at the very least make a good rhythm game and then put Persona over top of it, and it doesn't sound like that even happened really. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I wish it was a little bit more of a solid and robust experience, and it's really neither. It's I can recommend 4 a bit more because like they put a lot more heart into it, I think, coming up with this whole story to go along with the proceedings. And it, even like with the, you know, they've done some fighting game spinoffs in the past. Like those, I think, mechanically speaking, were really interesting fighting games. So I think they went a little farther there. I'm curious to see. So Persona 5 Royale is coming out in like a few days. So I'm going to check that out. And then Persona 5 Scramble, which is supposedly like a Dynasty Warriors type game.
Probably. Oh.
Yeah, and that one's coming out on Switch. So that's like the first Persona entry to appear of any kind on the Switch. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I'd like to know how deep in the, you know, the lore they're able to get, because it's supposed to be a follow-up to the end of Persona 5.
Oh, cool. That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed that that lives up to the hype and the hope for it.
Yeah, same here. And I guess just, well, I we're already running kind of long, so I won't go too deep into it, but I played a bunch of Super Mario RPG and finished it recently on my stream, twitch.tv/somebodybits.
Oh, fun.
For me, that was kind of like, if I was just playing for the sake of playing it, I might not have finished, but because I was streaming it, I went through and saw the whole thing. It's a good game, and I, you know, it's just that it's kind of aged, being over 20 years old now.
Sure.
Like the graphics, they don't look too good no more. And the combat ended up being pretty repetitive because, in part because of the way I built my characters, like there's only 3 stats you can ever level up. There's power, HP, or special. And so power is for physical and attack and defense. Special is for magic attack and defense. And then HP is HP. So it made sense to only focus on one of those 2 stats, one of the 2 offense stats. So I just put everything into power for Mario and Bowser, which meant doing a lot of basic attacks. Because for whatever reason, the game considers the jump that Mario does a magic attack and not a physical attack.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's weird, but fair.
I guess, yeah. I ended up just using the basic attack from Mario and riding that like the whole way through the game. Same for Bowser. And then Princess Toadstool, she ended up being a monster by the end of the game. I found this, I'm sorry, Shelby, I found a frying pan for her. But yeah, even though she has a low attack stat, the pan is very high attack. So she ended up being both a really effective offensive character, and she had a group heal for the entire party that like healed them back to full health for like 2 MP. So,
a battle cleric. I love it.
Yeah. She ended up being a very valuable member of the team. Probably the most important member, actually. So.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah, if you want to find a game to play on your Super Nintendo Classic or your SNES Classic, you could do a lot worse than Super Mario RPG.
Might have to pull mine out.
Think about it.
There's luckily a wealth of games. God, we didn't even talk about the fact that, like, Doom just came out and I really want to play that. There's a lot of things happening right now, which is a wonderful luxury. We're going to all be stuck inside. At least we're going to be stuck inside with a lot of really fun things to keep us entertained.
Yes. Yeah, this is a very, very popular time for busting out games. Yeah, FF7 remake, Resident Evil 3 remake, Persona 5
Royal, semi-sequel. Right?
Royal, yeah. I mean, not to dampen things at all, but we might be riding these games for a while. I mean, just like assuming the development times are being delayed or that people, teams are less effective in putting together games right now because they're all working remote. It'll be interesting to find out like what's actually going to make it out the rest of this year.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm grateful for what we have, and we have some good sustainable things.
Yes.
And we always have podcasts. People can record them from home like we're doing today. So luckily, the entertainment will continue to flow even if we're stuck inside.
Thank God for podcasts indeed, Shelby. Thank God indeed. So I think that, on that note, we should conclude this podcast, and maybe we can get back together and podcast again sometime soon.
Sounds good. You need to visit my Animal Crossing island.
Yes, I do. I'm going to steal some of your fruit. And maybe if you could, like, can I have a ladder, please?
Maybe.
Thank you. Shelby, thank you so much for joining me. Is there anywhere people can reach you, either in person or online?
So you can find my island. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not giving you my dodo code. I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Shelby_Fawn. Come for the memes. Stay for the mostly just memes. not Instagram. Instagram is my life. Twitter is memes.
As for us, we can be reached by email, somanybitspodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. We're So Many Bits on there. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr at So Many Bits. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Please rate and review or download from Simplecast or stream via Spotify. We play games, twitch.tv/SoManyBits, Wednesday and Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time. I finished up the previously mentioned Super Mario RPG on there, and I'll probably be picking up a new RPG soonish, so look out for that. If you want to find this podcast plus another number of other great nerdy podcasts, check out nerdlogs.com, where So Many Bits is hosted. And last but not least, thank you very much for listening. Have a great summer. Dun dun.
Damn it, you beat me to it.